Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey everybody, welcome to a little one-off, little special, little something-something play retro. Normally this is a show where we go deep on all the retro coverage you can stand. But it's a little more relaxed, a little more chill. We were both out of town. That's just what you're going to get. I'm Scott Johnson, by the way, one of your hosts, and I spent no quarters in the arcade this week, and I still got my ass kicked by Tron by Brian Ibbett.
That jerk. And I'm your other host, Brian Dunaway. And I'm in my comfy pants, and I just got back from Cincinnati, Ohio, and boy, my WKRPs or my KRPs are so tired. Oh. Am I old?
Yeah.
Referencing 70s shows? I guess that's our jam, right?
It is your jam.
We do the retro stuff, so...
Yeah,
I didn't know turkeys couldn't fly until I watched WKRP in Cincinnati. And every time I drive over we've been a couple of times in the past few years, and every time I drive over the bridge heading into Cincinnati, I have to sing the song, and it's in my head for like a
week. Why wouldn't you? You'd have to do that.
Yeah,
I've only been to Columbus, Ohio. Hey, that show is barely. You can only buy a season on Apple TV. It's not even on Amazon. You can't get this anywhere else. There's no streaming. WKRP should be out there and streaming, and I bet you money this all comes down to music rights, you know?
Right. That's an interesting question, but watching Malcolm in the Middle, and it wasn't until recently that you could get that on streaming. They held off Malcolm in the Middle for years because of music problems, because they used all kinds of popular music. So that's a good question about WKRP.
Yeah.
Haven't looked into that. But I do know the only place you probably can get it is either on Apple, like you said, or... If you head over to, I think, Daily Motion, I think it was where I watched the Thanksgiving special.
Oh, yeah, they got
special.
All kinds of stuff they shouldn't have over there.
Yeah, that's not official, but I think that's where I watched the Thanksgiving special, which I referenced at the top of the show.
Yeah.
And you probably could get it at Cracker Barrel. I'm just saying, any shit TV show you want to watch, you probably could get it on, not Blu-ray, on DVD.
Yeah.
For a price
at a Cracker Barrel. And while you're there, get the chicken in there, the chicken fried steak, and what else?
And have
like?
A heart attack.
Yeah. Oh, they have decent. Right. You know what? They have decent grits. I'll give them that. They're all right.
First of all, you said grits. If people don't know who are out of the country or from somewhere else, that's usually something that only us Southern people talk about is a grit, a corn product.
Yeah.
And I am shocked. That Utah man over here, even though I know his wife, knows a grit much less.
Well, that's the trick, right? When I met her, she's from Mississippi, and she brought all her grit knowledge with her, her true grits. and she makes amazing.
We're about to watch True Grit. Let me tell you about my childhood.
She makes amazing grits. Her homemade grits are insane. But also, I've noticed in the last, during our marriage, slowly but surely, grits are more a part of kind of menus out here, which is weird because back in those days, nothing. No, nothing. The closest reference you had to grits was watching Alice and hearing Flo say, "Kiss my grits."
Kiss my grits. And everybody look up, "What's a grit?"
Yeah, what's a grit? Is that just a butthole? What is a grit?
You know, I haven't watched this. I don't mean this to turn into retro TV, but I haven't watched Alice in forever. And I'll be honest with you, I can't remember where it's even supposed to be located. For some reason in my head, when I think about it, it's a restaurant off an interstate somewhere. Is that? I don't think that's right.
No, that I think that sounds. I mean, it is a restaurant. It's like a cafe.
Right. Is it a truck stop or something? For some reason, I feel like I remember seeing her riding down some kind of like interstate and some kind of flatlands area.
Yep.
But I don't know. I can't remember. Wow.
You know what's weird is that Alice only lasted. Oh, I'm sorry. That's not true. It not lasted 9 seasons. It was long. I thought it was only a season.
Yeah. Yeah. But did they also do a spinoff or something? Too?
They did. Flo got her own show.
Got her own show.
And they called it
Flo. It's like Grady did on the Grady. Did you ever watch Grady?
No. Nope,
I think I've talked about it before.
Never
but Grady from Sanford and Son got his own show, and it was pretty good, actually.
Was it actually? Sometimes spinoffs are all right. You get your Frasiers occasionally, but sometimes you get your Enises from... remember that? Enis was bad.
I do remember Enis.
Enis was bad.
Oh, I loved Enis. It was Sheriff Lobo, too, which was, it wasn't related, but it always makes me think of that for some reason.
Yeah, Sheriff Lobo may as well have been a city version of... Of those of the Beverly, not the Beverly Hillbillies. What am I trying to say?
The Dukes
of Hazzard. Holy
Dukes
shit,
Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah, I've been watching. Okay, so one more retro thing about TV. I've been watching. There's a lot of good stuff on Tubi, as you know.
Oh yeah, so much.
Tubi's got all. I believe I was watching on Tubi. I think that's right. They've got all the. What's it called? Abe Vigoda and shit.
Oh my god.
The name of the main character is
Barney Miller.
Barney effing Miller. Jeez.
Barney effing Miller. That is such a good stuff.
Yeah, I've been watching Barney Miller. I haven't probably seen much Barney Miller since I was a little kid when it was in reruns, and it's so good. It's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, that's
and it's funny.
That's such a good, like Hal Linden and all those guys. You know, of you course, forget, like you said, mentioned Abe Vigoda.
Yep. You missed
Ron
you miss,
Glass. All
yeah,
those
Ron
guys.
Glass, the guy who played Bishop on Firefly,
yes.
Right? Is that crazy?
Yeah. Yeah. That is so wild.
So there's your retro TV taste for our weird little one.
Oh, man, we're going to spin this off into a retro TV thing. But I'd been watching Tubi as well.
Yeah.
And that's where I think I saw that trailer for it popped up in my recommends. And then I heard somebody else mention it recently as well. But it was like John Travolta's first role. And it was like, what was it? It's oh my god, now I totally mentioned Film Sack on this thing.
It's not the Boy in the Bubble deal, right? Not that.
No, it's the Devil one. It's the with Ernest Borgnine.
Oh, The Devil's Reign. Yeah,
is that it? The Devil's Reign.
Yeah,
maybe
Devil's
it's because
Reign.
I was watching Black Rain. And maybe that's the reason why it recommended it to me.
I mean, look at this cast, dude. Ernest Borgnine, yeah. Eddie Albert, William Shatner, Tom Skerritt, and a very, at the time, unknown John Travolta. That's crazy.
John Travolta, his first. And William Shatner. Did you say William Shatner?
Yeah, Shatner's in there.
Yeah, yep. Shatner's in there. He's in that a lot, actually. Yeah.
I'm in for
but
this.
But that was... Wasn't that written or not written, but I think they actually, you know, the Church of Satan or whatever the thing is. What do they call it? I forget anyway. You know, this, which really isn't a Satan church. Settle down. It's, you know, they don't even believe in Satan.
No, they do it for, they do it to say, screw everybody
they
on
do
your
it
taxes.
To, they do it to stick it to you know, Christianity and that kind of stuff.
Well, sort of. I think their main thing is it's like, oh, you're not going to tax churches, so let's be the church of the devil. And look, by the same rules, you can't tax us. Like, it's more like everybody thinks, oh, religion, treat it special in our country. And they're like, okay, treat our special then. And people are like, oh, not like that. And we're like, no. It's got to be what's good for the goose is good for the gander kind of deal, you know?
America.
By the way, this is, you want to hear what the Devil's Reign review quote from Roger Ebert was?
Oh, God. What did Roger Ebert think about the Devil's Reign from 1975? Oh,
it
my God.
It says it barely manages to be horror, and it says it is as horrible to watch as an egg frying. he goes on to this to say, all of this would be good, silly fun if the movie weren't so painfully dull. The problem is that the material stretched too thin. There's not enough here to fill a feature film length, he said.
We were exploring... wow, we really went retro. We went all over the place with our retro action today.
Yeah.
But, you know, during the 70s, we were exploring all of these satanic ideas. Not that we were trying to be Satanist, but it was just one of those things. It's like, oh, this is really scary. And really, you know, gritty, and there's just so much bad shit in the world going on in the 70s.
Yeah,
that how you escape that is to show what would be even worse.
Yeah, what would be worse? And here it is.
Right,
yeah.
Here it is. And so the Devil's Reign couldn't even right in the middle of the 70s couldn't pull it off. Right. So
yeah.
I guess you have to go to The Exorcist if you really want, or The Omen if you really want.
Yeah,
to
The Omen
out.
Was that's where it was at.
That's
let's see
action.
If I can find the trailer for this Devil's Reign, just for fun. Devil's Reign. is actual rain, like the rain from the sky.
Right.
Let's see. Devil's Rain trailer. Here we go. Let's play a little audio from this. This is probably awful.
Okay. It's kind of...
There have been films about earthquakes, airplane disasters, and blazing infernos. But there has never been anything like the Devil's Rain.
His face.
That wasn't your father.
It was his face.
Oh, we gotta watch this shit.
Oh, it's so good.
Mother? Mother! Corvus!
Oh my gosh, that's as good as when he yells Khan in the Star Trek 2. That's fantastic.
He's so overacting. I don't know how he could have said it was boring. I haven't watched it yet, but I like scrubbed it.
Yeah.
You know, it's on AMC Plus, it's on Tubi, it's on Pluto, it's on Plex, it's on, I mean, it's just everywhere out there, and it just looks horrible. I can't help but to think that it would make great conversation.
Yeah, I just put it in our film set group because we need to consider this film. We got to watch that.
Do
shit.
It.
That looks so bad.
you're getting your retro TV.
Yeah.
You're getting your retro movies.
Yeah.
And I swear we're going to talk about retro video games.
Yeah, we totally are. In fact, here, let's get a little ambience going here. All right, so that sound is, of course, an old early 80s arcade.
Yeah.
And that's good because that's where I spent a lot of my time. So this last week we were in Las Vegas, Nevada for an event for my morning show, for the Morning Stream, which Brian is also on as a guest a couple of weeks or days of the week. Yeah. And it was all for fans of that and everything. A really good time. Saw a lot of people. It was really great. You know, all the typical fun stuff you can do in Vegas. But here's where I always look forward to it the most. The last couple of years we've done this thing at this arcade bar called Player One. And it's not far from the Strip. You just drive out and get there. And it's kind of unassuming. You go inside. You pay a $5 cover charge. And all the arcade games in there, which, again, are ranging from like late 70s all the way up to early 90s. And tons of them. Oh, and also consoles everywhere, like old consoles. They have new Switches that are running Mario Kart tournaments. They have all this stuff going on in there. And it's all free. It's free play for every machine. You don't have to pay anything else other than that $5 cover charge, which, unless you're going to drink, and then obviously you're going to drink, but I don't drink, so it's easy for me to just go play video games. Mm-hmm. And there's a ton of them there. And you remember the Defender-like game that wasn't called Defender 2? They called it something else. Do you remember the name?
Yes, it was. Oh, my God. Why am I blanking on it?
It's kind of rare and hard to find. My brain can't remember. I guess I could search.
I can't recall off the top of my head. Let me do a. Can I do a search?
Defender, and we can go full sheet, all sheets.
Yeah, find. All sheets. We're gonna find it. Dadgummit! I bet you people are yelling right now at their radio or whatever they're listening to. How do you listen to us anyway?
Yeah, how do you listen?
@gmail.com.
Yeah, let us know how you listen. We'd love to hear it. Okay, I can't find shit. So wherever it is.
I can't find shit, so I'm scrubbing now. We'll see if it pops
up.
Somewhere Arcade's
in here.
Greatest Hits.
Yeah.
Oh, that was the Moon Patrol.
That was Moon Patrol. I think I had that on there.
Okay, episode 57, when we talked about that, we talked about Stargate.
Stargate,
that's it.
Okay,
God,
so...
Why can't you remember that?
I walked in there, I don't know, and I just saw the damn thing, but I went in there, and this is like a super rare machine. And there it was, looking right at me. And it's one of the games in there that had just, like, flawless control. Like, the joysticks worked perfectly. Nothing was sticking. Because some of these old games, you know, they get a little booger in there. Yeah. Or the ball doesn't work right or whatever. Because they're old. But this thing...
I know how that is. My balls haven't worked in years.
No, it's been a long time for you.
Yeah.
Getting from there to here. Anyway, that game is great. And I wanted to mention that because we talked about it. But here's the thing. We weren't there just to play games. We were there for a tournament. And that involved playing games, but it was, you know, you had to kind of put your competition hat on. And this year, Ibit did a random assigning of everyone who entered the tournament. They were randomly assigned to who their opponents were going to be in whatever round they were in. And randomly, he and I got matched up for the first round.
Oh, wow. That is some serendipitous there.
It's super stupid. Like, why would you have the two hosts do it?
Of the event? And you know, everybody rolled their eyes.
Yeah, they were like, uh-huh.
Fake.
Yeah, but in our case, we were like, wouldn't it be better if we met in the finals or something? That's much cooler, you know, but we didn't know how far we'd get. Anyway, one of the things you have to do with these games is you have to decide which one you're going to play, and you hope that the joysticks aren't effed and, you know, all that. And, also, the owner gets into these machines and flips all the dip switches to be on the hardest difficulty. And the reason they do that, because they're not collecting quarters, they're doing that right. so that people don't just sit there on the Pac-Man the whole time and never leave. They want it to be hard so they move on, and then people can all play games, right? So everything's harder.
I love the nefariousness of owners flipping switches. I love that there is a just like in the house always wins.
Yeah,
right?
That's exactly it. Yeah. And in this case, it's like the machine with the dip switches in all the right positions wins, and there's no getting around it. And I'm sure back in the day that was a great way to try to get more quarters out of people. You'd have to maybe pull back a little and make it not quite so hard, you know, just so you're not obvious
so
about
obvious.
It. Yeah, but in this case, since we weren't putting quarters in anyway, it was fine. But that was a thing to take into account. Like, oh yeah, I'm good at Pac-Man, but am I good at freaking hyperspeed level 2 Pac-Man? Like, I don't know.
Oh my God, no. Yeah. I can tell you right now, the first couple of levels of Pac-Man, I'm an ace.
Yeah, forget it. So, Brian, I let him pick. I basically said, you pick, dude. The only rule was, couldn't be Joust because I'm too good at Joust. And it couldn't be...
humble brag.
Yep, humble brag. And it couldn't be Tempest because he's too good at Tempest. So it had to be something that was not Tempest or
please say
Joust.
It was Frogger.
It wasn't. No,
I'm so bad at Frogger. I just can't be better at Frogger. Frogger. I put the time in.
Yeah, you'll do what you need to do. But Frogger will win, and that house wins every time with you.
Yeah,
That's how I am with what's the pogo guy that jumps up and down the pyramid? My brain, I can't.
Oh, remember. Qbert. Qbert.
Vegas ruined
my
brain.
Pretty good at Qbert.
I think I left brain cells in Vegas, but anyway. So Brian says, hey, what if we did Tron? Remember Tron?
Y'all played Tron.
Yeah.
I loved playing the machine on Tron, which seemed appropriate, but I was always afraid to play anybody else.
Yeah,
because I kind of could read the machine, but other people, oh my God.
Exactly. So the way that game works, it's not like Discs of Tron where you're basically arena fighting with your Frisbee.
Yeah.
Which I was way better at that game back in the day, but this game is just straight Tron, and Tron, the way it worked is you would choose one of four activities to start with and try to beat them all. And those four activities were this weird spider thing. We had to kill these spider things to get inside of this this teleporter thing. The other one was basically Snake with the light cycles.
Yes.
Another one was the tanks shooting around corners.
Oh,
and
yeah, that's right. I forgot about the tank stuff. Yeah.
I don't remember the fourth one. The fourth one was... crap, I don't remember what else you did.
It was probably you flying through those battle tanks, maybe something like
no,
that.
No, I thought it was that. It wasn't. It was. It's the thing where you're trying to get into the central computer unit, and you have to shoot. You know, it's almost like kind of like
The input output tower.
Yeah, and you gotta shoot it kind of like playing. I don't know. What's a good Breakout or something is kind of what it's like.
Okay, right.
So they're all. It's almost like all four of these games are weird mini games. And not really great games of their own. They're just kind of small. And then when you clear them, you do harder versions of those games.
Right.
Anyway, I thought, oh, man, I played Tron. This will be fine. I'll rock Brian's world. He doesn't know what he's getting into. I remember Tron. And anyway, we got to playing it. He destroyed. Now, you don't play head-to-head. You take turns. So
take turns. Score-based, right?
It's a score thing. And his score, I think he ended up with something like 13,000. I ended up with like 8,000. He just rocked me.
Never bet against Ibbot. That's all I've got to say. Never bet against
Ibbot. Unless I'm playing Joust, then all bets are off. But in this case, he rocked me. And I realized after I'd played it, my muscle memory told me, said, hey, Scott, you realize you haven't played this since 88 when it was like in the arcades. Like you don't even realize how freaking long ago it was. So I had no real muscle memory for it. And also, I think the knob was a little weird. But Brian, it didn't bother Brian. He was fine.
No.
Down, though, on the stick was real fishy. You had to kind of find it. It wasn't easy. Right. And it was like just off. So but when that happens, we both have the same handicap. So I can't really use that as an excuse. Okay. So he basically just kicked my ass. That's how it works. And it's fine. I'm okay now.
Now, is that okay? So this is the event. Isn't it like y'all's closer? Isn't that like the last thing I'll do?
It is, although we're thinking about making that the meet and greet next year, like the intro, because it's so much fun. Great place to meet everybody. Yeah, yeah. So, it's kind of our finisher. Yeah.
Yeah, that is wild. And so it is like a, you know, it's like a brackets kind of thing, right? You work your way to the top. Does that mean you were out? The very first round.
I was out first round, whereas last year I took second place overall. Yeah, I almost won. Yeah, and the guy who won last year was here again this year, wearing his trophy around his neck. from last year.
Please tell me that you created the artwork for the trophy and that Ibbot printed it.
It did.
And that he trashed both of you.
You're 100% correct.
That's fantastic.
That is exactly right. It's a little arcade machine cabinet that I made custom art for and labeled it on top of the print after Brian was done with it. That was last year's trophy, and he's wearing that around his neck. This year's trophy, same thing. Brian printed it. I did the art for it. And if that guy gets both these, I'm going to be so... And here's the worst part, I can tell you. I've said this on other shows, but this dude is Monkey Banana's brother-in-law.
Yes, and Monkey Banana is a huge part of our community.
Yeah, he's awesome. Yeah. He comes to this event last year, had never heard of TMS, had never heard of Frog Pants, had never done any of this stuff. He's not connected to us at all. But he came. Right. He won that tournament, became a listener. Now he's a regular listener and loves everything about the network. Well, this time he comes with that around his neck, and I'm thinking, whatever, dude, you're out in the first round. No, he got pretty far. In fact, I think he got five levels in before he got taken out.
Sweating. Oh, God, he's gonna be wearing two next year.
Yep. Yeah, it was crazy. And the final game was Galaga or Gorf?
Galaga. That's good, too.
It might have been
Galaga.
Gorf.
Gorf?
Yeah. Remember Gorf?
Not Dorf. Like Gorf. Not Dorf on golf.
Not Dorf on golf. Gorf on video games. So it's like Gorf is like Space Invaders mixed with Galaga, mixed with Galaxian, mixed with I don't know what all other junk.
Yeah,
it's a huge ripoff
combination
game.
Of everything.
I think that's what they played at the end. I can't remember, but it was really a rousing.
You were out.
Time.
Like, I love this. That's what Scott does. It's like, I'm out.
Yep.
I'm not playing. I'm not watching.
Yep. Yep. I was real. I mean, I was getting yanked in every direction trying to sign stuff, take photos and all that. But it was really, really fun. And even though I got rocked and joust so hard, the event went real good, and we had a lot of fun. And I think every time we do this, and maybe it's because it's the last thing we do, but the arcade thing just ends up being such a highlight for me. I love it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and I also launched my card game at this event, which...
oh, yes. So you've been working on a... This is your second... Is it
my
second
card game? First one was real simple, kind of a way to kind of get my feet wet, see how this goes, and it worked real well. So took what I learned from that, build another game. It's called Dungeon Murder. People can go to dungeonmurder.com. It'll take you straight to the Kickstarter. We blasted
which is
through
funded
the,
already, but you're on the stretchy goals, right?
Yeah, we blasted through it like in 2 hours, and I hadn't even announced it anywhere but the event. That was weird.
That's awesome.
And the word got out, I guess. But anyway, we're heading toward all our stretch goals. Still got another 3 weeks left or whatever it is. And lots of time to get in there. And we played it at the event. I have a single beta deck that I was able to bring and played it with a bunch of people. And they all walked away impressed, which I think some of them were really surprised. They were like, oh, this is like really fun. I'm like, well, thanks for the vote of confidence.
I worked really hard on this.
That's right.
So, yeah.
So, if you're interested and want to see what that's about, if you're listening, check it out at dungeonmurder.com. Brian, what'd you get up to while you were up there in the land of hoo-ha?
Right. So, while Scott was away in Vegas, I was up in Ohio, Dayton, Ohio, mostly, Cincinnati somewhat. We were up there because my daughter Zoe, she was up there with the indoor percussion band. That was the nationals for those guys, and they placed 13th. So they got all the way to the final day. So that's fantastic. But they got bumped up in a class this year. Last year they took third in their division, but they got bumped up to it to a higher level, and it was a little bit tougher considering that our school is 400 members or 400 students is our pool that we can pull from.
Yeah.
And the next school was like a couple of thousand. So we're definitely batting outside of our league now, but we still made it to the top 13 out of 50.
Ah, very nice.
More than that, there's even way more than that out of the nation. But anyway.
Yeah, so you're up there for that, which is all very important and everything. But then you're like, aren't there a lot of cool retro game places around here?
Last year... while I was up there and we had not been doing the show that long, I went to several retro game stores that were in the Cincinnati Dayton area. And the one I loved the most while I was up there, only visited like three, I went to Game Swap. And I went back again this year. And unfortunately, it was the only one that I was able to get into because the last time we went, I don't remember all the game stores only opening after 1 p.m.
Oh, all right. That's
in the
weird.
Afternoon.
I'm
really assuming
weird.
That started happening during the time of COVID or something, and people just stuck with it. I don't know if they expect retro gamers to wake up later. I don't know. Anyway, I tried to go to Roman Games, which was had a bunch of good Yelp reviews. The pictures look great. I showed up at around 12:45 and stayed there until almost 1:20. And other cars pulled up and were also looking at the store like, hello, are you going to open up? I looked for signs, didn't see anything. I'm not bashing Roman Games. I'm just saying all I got to see was the outside of the store.
Sure.
I hope everybody is fine and safe there. I don't know if something happened or what. But I hate that I missed it. So anyway, I ran on over to GameSwap. I picked up a PlayStation 1, a PSX, the 7001 or whatever that version is. It's got the serial connect and everything else on it. And I purchased a HDMI adapter for this bad boy so I can hook it up to HDMI, and I've played it a little bit. I also picked up Arcade's Greatest Hits. When I talked a little bit about this on our Moon Patrol episode, and this is the PlayStation 1, which was fantastic because it's the one that had all of the interviews on it. It has like a little trivia thing. You pick a topic from the selected topics, and you choose the answer, and then the developers will come on and they'll tell you why you're stupid. And it's quite humbling. I love it.
Yeah.
But when I went in there, my eyes were looking for an Amiga A500 because I did get that Amiga A500 Mini a couple weeks ago we talked about when we were doing Populous. I was looking for a Sega Master System and a TurboGrafx-16. And I came home with a PlayStation.
Yeah. that seems a little weird, but all right.
That's how it goes. It was actually pretty cheap. So I love GameSwap. I will tell you this, though. I've met either he's the owner or the manager, but he's always there when I went. And I've been about 3 or 4 times. And so I don't bash anybody for being peculiar. This guy is hilarious. He's cordial. But whenever I start talking to him, he just disappears.
Oh.
He'll say like 2 words, and then he's just gone.
It's like Batman.
You can tell he's like, oh my God, another one of these assholes.
Yeah.
You can tell he's antisocial. Luckily, he's got some other people there that kind of helped too. But when I came in, he's watching Beavis and Butthead eating his lunch.
Yeah.
It's like 11 o'clock. He was not interested in any of my nerd discussion. But GameSwap is an amazing little store. I've always find at least a couple of things there. They've got tons of if you're looking for video games, there's so many.
Yeah.
He only had a couple of systems, so not a lot to choose from. But I did buy my Sega Saturn from those guys last year. Very happy with it. I think they do they do testing and maybe a little bit of repair. I don't know this for a fact, but every system I bought from them is always 100% guaranteed.
What's the name again so people can like check it out?
It's GameSwap, and I don't think it's not in Dayton proper. I think it's like outside of that. Let me take a look. And I will tell you. Oh, I think I put a link in the chit chat.
Yeah,
no, I didn't. I deleted going. It.
Yeah.
And I deleted it.
Oh, fantastic. Well done.
Right. Let me see. Well done. But I will find it in 2 seconds. Right. Oh, it's in Kettering.
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 Okay.
Kettering. And like I said, they're open now. They don't close till 8 p.m. Hurry. Run.
Get there now while you
get it.
While the getting
go get
is
it
good.
Now.
Right. Yeah.
But they've got gaming magazines.
Oh.
Which I'm tempted every time I go in there to pick up a gaming magazine, but I'm like, what am I going to do with this?
Yeah.
What am I going to do with a gaming magazine?
Yeah.
I'll be too afraid that I'm going to destroy it to open it. And
how
it's going to sit on my shelf.
How old is it? Do you know?
He's got a lot of Nintendo Power game systems. Mm-hmm. So a lot of stuff like that. Nothing as old as like Atari age from the early 80s, but most of the stuff is like, you know, closer to mid 80s. 90s, a little bit into the 2000s, but most of the stuff, like I said, not the really old, fragile stuff for the
sure.
most part.
I'm looking at this Atari age from, let's see, can I zoom in on this? Let's see.
Oh, yeah, you need to look at the Atari age.
These
stuff.
Are amazing, amazing.
You have no idea how often when I'm trying to think, I'm like, oh, what do I want to play retro game-wise? I love just plugging a year into my brain and going, I want to play something from 93.
Yeah.
And then I hit archive.org. And I just, I start looking for through the gaming magazines and just reading stuff. Like, I had forgotten totally about a game called Blasto.
Mm.
And the only reason, I wouldn't just happen upon Blasto in any other way than an ad in an old ass gaming magazine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think that was in the PlayStation game magazine, which was I was looking at.
Yeah.
Do you remember playing Blasto?
No, but the name is familiar. I didn't play it.
It's kind of like, it almost looks like Mr. Incredible. It's a platforming third person shooter game.
Yeah.
It was developed in house by Sony Interactive. It's got Phil Hartman.
Oh my gosh.
Really? Who voices Captain Blasto.
Wow.
And so, you know, it's one of those on the PlayStation. And yeah. I had totally forgotten about it until I started looking through the magazines.
News to me as well. Wow.
Yeah.
I love
it. But I hung around in GameSwap as long as my traveling companion would allow me.
Yeah.
Because there's some controllers. There's some, there's a bunch of old retro toys in there. They've even got like old authentic retro shirts. Yeah. So you know how. And it's like, I'm always torn about that. You ever go to a retro store and look at like retro clothing and going, I just don't know if I'm that into being retro. I mean, I think I would rather have, you know, a Mario shirt from Kohl's.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah.
Than to get an authentic sweat-aged authentic Mario shirt from, you know, the 80s.
I'm fine with having Pac-Man being printed in 2023. I don't need it from that.
And nothing makes you realize how fat America has gotten. This is not news to anybody. Nothing makes you realize how fat America's gotten than when you daily wear a, now I wear a size medium, and I'm like, oh, look at me wearing a size medium.
Look at you, little teeny boy.
Ain't I just a little boy?
Yeah.
And then I'll go into these stores with shirts from, you know, 20, 30 years ago, and I'm like, oh, there's a medium. What is this, a child's medium?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not. It's a normal human American medium.
Yeah, we have our size. It's like our portion sizes have grown with our shirt sizes for sure.
Right, they don't want us to feel bad, so they
still call it medium, even though it's like an extra large from the 70s. That's pretty funny.
Wait, are you gaming on a Chromebook?
Yeah. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
By the way, I've noticed Atari Age has this game. Do you remember playing Maze Craze? Is that a game you played?
I do remember playing Maze Craze more recently. I didn't play it back in the day, but I did play it not that long ago when I was digging through some Atari stuff.
Well,
did you think about it?
Well, this is what I love. When a magazine talks about a thing like this, they often have, especially an ad back in those days, 1982 here, they would put a toll-free number on those things.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to call this one and see if Maze
Craze.
You got
to. What choice?
Yeah. Let's see if these guys are still around. We're going to hit record. We're going to allow this. Okay. I don't know why this wants to.
Your call cannot be completed as dialed.
Oh.
Please check the number and dial again.
See, most of them are gone. I this is the bummer about this. I try it all the time, and all this old shit is gone, man. Nobody's at those numbers.
It's gone. Nobody's...
Or sometimes you'll hit it and they'll go, put another dime in to have Cheryl tell you what she's wearing. It's
right,
that sort of thing.
It's amazing that there's a number that is not attached to anything.
Yeah.
I don't know what is the complete total number of phone numbers with our eight. So in America, so that sounded like an American voice.
Yeah.
And the number was probably originally located in America, if I had to guess.
Yeah.
And so you got an area code, and then you got your seven digits, right?
Mm-hmm.
How many differences is that? Surely there's enough. Surely all those numbers have been used up somewhere, right?
Right.
Surely.
I would think so. But
I'm
what do we know?
Underestimating.
Yeah, and
I'm probably underestimating numbers.
And one that opens up is swiped up by somebody, right? Like, they just want to get their hands on it. In this case, I guess they let it transpire. Yeah, but I always hope it's like some lady will answer and go, hi, it's Atari Age here, what can I help you with? It's like,
I wonder if we started some kind of initiative to preserve the phone number.
Uh-huh.
And we just went and found every freaking phone number in every gaming magazine, which shouldn't be too hard, right? Because a lot of that stuff is already scanned in. And we could just create a database and just try to secure every one of those freaking numbers. And then you've reached Play Retro.
Uh-huh.
If you're looking for this, we'll lead you over here and
press one.
Please deposit $5 in Brian's bank.
Yep. Yeah. Hey, please. That'd be great. You direct to our banks. I'll sign me up for this business.
Yeah. We're doing it. But that was my GameSwap experience once again. Great experience. I always buy a couple of games when I'm there. Buy a system if I can.
Yeah.
I think I only paid I got out of there for $50 with the world's greatest hits and that PlayStation 1. So, I mean, very reasonably priced, cheaper than I could have picked it up off eBay. And I didn't have to worry about shipping and worried about, if anything would work. Now, I had to make sure, even though I've bought from these guys before and I trust them, I went to the hotel. We were staying at a courtyard by Marriott.
Courtyard.
You ever been to a Courtyard by Marriott?
I actually do like those. They're nice.
Yeah, they're nice hotels. You know, they're not top of the line, not bottom of the line, kind of in the middle. Nice little place. So we stayed there. And so I took my PlayStation 1 back to the hotel, and I was like, maybe I can hook it up. So I'm taking a look at their hookups. I'm like, oh, look at this. They do have the kind of connection.
Really? They had RCA connectors?
They had RCA connectors. And I'm like, okay, interesting.
Damn.
Plug it in. Nothing. Dang it.
Yeah.
And so I started, there's a lot of connections in the back of this TV, and I'm like, okay, let me see here. I was like, oh, okay, wait a minute. I see what's going on here.
Yeah.
Nothing's plugged in directly to the TV. Everything is going into this box, this mounted like some kind of board or something on the back of the TV. It's obviously not part of the TV. I'm like, oh, okay, so they've hijacked the TV with this receiver thing. I'm like, oh, okay, so I can't plug directly into the TV. And I confirmed that. I went to the side of the TV because I thought maybe I could plug, switch the inputs. Nothing. They've disabled all the on TV buttons, and the remote control only controls that box. It will not control the TV.
Wow.
So it's like, shit.
Yeah.
So I said, well, let me see if there's a local store I can go get one from. They had a Micro Center.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, if I can at least plug in an HDMI into the TV, maybe I can test it.
Sure.
So, because there were inputs for the HDMI input onto that little box. I was like, okay, let me try that.
Yeah.
Actually what I was thinking was I can plug it directly to the TV. Anyway, not important. I went to the Micro Center, enjoyed myself as I always do, but as I was trying to find the Micro Center, I pulled up. This is a place, remember, I don't know anything about the area I'm in.
Yeah.
Got no clue.
Right.
I just said, hey, a personal assistant lady that I'm not going to say the name of so that your phones won't go crazy, navigate to Micro Center.
Yeah.
And so they did. Mm. And so I pulled up, and in Micro Center font, it said Micro Center Mall.
Wow. Like,
what the F does that mean?
Yeah, what even
Micro
is that?
Micro Center Mall.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at it, and it's like there's a Subway.
Yeah.
And there's like these other stores I don't recognize. And I'm starting to get pissed because I'm thinking, that's Micro Center's font.
Yeah.
I said, take me to Micro Center. And this is some place that probably used to be a Micro Center.
Yeah.
And they turned it into the mall, and they decided not to change anything. I'm really pissed. Oh, it's around back. So I pulled around the back where the Micro Center was.
Yeah.
And that place is packed full of nerds.
Yeah.
And once again, my riding companion, very patient.
Yeah. Yeah, sounds like.
As I go down aisles and aisles of shit, including the little all the arcade stuff. You've never been to a Micro Center. It's just an electronics heaven, and they've got like all kinds of stuff for Raspberry Pis and arcade stuff. You can build your own joysticks. They've got 3D printers and, all this stuff.
Yeah.
But I got my little connector, headed back to the hotel, plugged it in.
Yeah.
It works. But the problem is the volume on the TV is wide open.
Uh-oh.
Because I can't adjust it.
Oh no!
And so I played a few minutes of what Joust 2.
There's no way to turn that down. That's great.
Yeah,
dude.
I played a couple of minutes of Joust 2 on the highest volume setting you can imagine.
Wow, that's a lot. That's got lots of punctuated loud noises too.
Or exactly. Or as long as my riding companion would allow, which was not very long.
Yeah, so I love this mysterious riding companion. I love it.
Yeah. We all have one.
Yeah.
And if there was, thank God, because if I did not have a companion, I would be at one location for far too long.
And you'd get lost in trying to find all the other ones. You got some navigation built in.
It's good to have somebody occasionally come by and go.
Yeah. Well, I got a question for you. Let me ask you this question. So we've talked about a lot of stuff on the show in its first chunk of episodes. By the way, thanks everybody for listening so long so far. We have lots more to do. And we know about things like, you know, ColecoVision and Magnavox Odyssey and the Philips Odyssey and Atari 2600 and all these. But there are some old first-gen consoles I've never heard of. And so I would like to read these to you now.
Give them.
And see if you've heard of any of this. So in 1976, in the wake of the success of the Magnavox Odyssey in 72, there was a Coleco device called the Coleco Telstar.
Yes.
I do not remember that at all.
I don't remember it, but when I was doing some research, I did come across it.
Interesting.
This is kind of an unfair question because I've spent the last year and a half looking at every system.
Right.
Like, I'm with you. Like, have you ever heard of the Atari ST?
Yes, that I'd heard of.
Okay.
Yeah.
I had heard of it, but I didn't understand necessarily what it was.
Did you know that there was an Atari 2600 Junior?
I did not until this past year.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, this year has been very enlightening in that regard.
Yes. And like, I did not know until I got into this. See, I knew that I wanted to play with an Amiga. Yeah. I knew that there were a lot of graphics people as I was growing up that really loved their Amigas. And I knew the name and it was attached to Commodore. I did not know the model numbers or the difference between them.
Right.
And it wasn't until I picked up this A500 Mini that I understood that there was this whole 16-bit war going on in Europe that us in America had probably little knowledge of, if any at all. At least I didn't.
I didn't either.
I had no idea that the Atari ST versus the Amiga A500 was a 16-bit gaming era competition.
Yeah,
that was quite intense.
Yeah, that it reminded me a lot of people. If you were in Europe anyway, it felt like, you know, the Sega Nintendo business that would come later. It was very, very heated battle between those two platforms. Had you heard of the Fairchild Channel F VES video entertainment system?
I actually have, and once again, that was a more research this past year. Man, you're really going old school on this stuff.
Old stuff.
Yeah. A lot of these games have very rudimentary graphics but I've kind of peeked at them and I've emulated that one in particular. I think it was it a Kool-Aid game or something that had, what was it that I did a deep dive because it was relevant to what we were doing at the time.
Lemonade, right? We played.
Was it? I don't know. Was it something like that? I can't remember.
I mean, Lemonade Stand ended up being on everything, so maybe it was that. I think it was all.
It might have been that. It was a drink. It was a beverage-based game that I had to fire it up, and I could not figure out how to get control with RetroArch at the time.
I think if I were a cool dude, maybe this exists. But if I was making like mobile games, I'd make a Lemonade Stand remake. Why not?
Oh yeah, I think they probably have it some form of factor, right? I love reading about. It's funny, like who was I just researching recently for one of our episodes? They were talking about where the mobile market was, and if they were to get back into games, they would go that route because it reminds them of the early days where the teams were kind of small and you could make a simple gameplay game that basically just depended on the longevity depended upon, you know, making it a skill-based difficult game.
Right. Yeah, I think I know why those aren't as common as simple clickers and, you know, free to play crap is because those are making money by the hand loads.
Yeah.
And nobody's really asking for something like Lemonade Stand, but I'm going to play this audio because it makes me feel like a kid again. So enjoy this for a second. It's an Apple II. Oh, it's really quiet. Hold on. I don't know why it's so quiet. Let's turn it up. There we go. Okay, listen to this. This is the sound of it being fulfilled. Yeah, that's your lemonade. And then,
I love that noise.
I know, right? Let's see what else we got. And then you got your... I don't care about that. Okay, here we go. Okay, this is a new day when you're selling lemonade, I believe. Oh, it's taking so long. Hold on. Here we go. Oh my gosh! Just that stupid beepy sound out of the back end of your Apple IIe or your freaking my gosh! What a time!
So not to pile on to Twitter hate.
Yeah,
is popular.
Well, Twitter kind of. Let's just admit it. It kind of sucks right now. But go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. I read a poll the other day because I was curious. I was like, oh, after this awakening I had about the Amiga A500, it's had a whole bunch of new people that I had not communicated with before in the retro gaming that I had done up until that point. I was like, oh, what other systems have I feel neglected? What other systems are people feeling neglected on? And Apple II was one that people was like, hey man, that was my gaming system.
Yeah, mine too.
And you know, yeah. And you don't always think of Apple IIe as a gaming system because that wasn't really his selling point, right? The selling point was get it into the, you know, sell it to mom and dad for, you know, processes and stuff.
Yeah.
And then it is also a family computer. Yeah, kids can play games on it. Yeah, but, you know, it's for studying and that kind of stuff. But
unless you were my dad who was like, don't play on this keyboard and mouse or whatever the hell. Not mouse, I guess we didn't have mice then. But just don't play on this stuff and don't use the controllers. Well, dad, these controllers are for the games. Yeah, but you'll wear them out. You'll break them. I'm like, well, what's the point of having them? Why do we have the controllers?
Then take it back. Yeah. Take it all back. I don't want it.
Get your money back. I didn't know this. Atari 2800 existed. It was Japan only. Never heard of that.
2800. I don't think I recall that. No. What does this thing look like?
Because you had your
2800. What a weird skip. Because we were doing like doubles. Because that's what technology used to do.
Yeah.
In 2800. Huh?
And they had a 2700, but it got canceled. And then they went straight to this 2800. Went to Sears. And then later, of course, you got the 5200. 78. Yeah, yeah.
I think I remember how this looks like. Okay, that's the reason why it does. It looks like another model. That's the reason why that 20.
Now, what I want to get my hands on is the 1982 Coleco Gemini, which was an Atari 2600 hardware clone. So it was literally a hardware clone for Atari games that Coleco, of all people, put out.
I did not recall this at all.
Yeah, that's interesting. There's also the TV Boy and TV Boy 2. I don't know even who made those.
Never heard that either. TV Boy.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. In Japan.
Japan again?
I think that was Japan. Doesn't say for sure here. Doesn't say Japan only, but I think that might have been.
Oh, yeah. Oh, this is cool. I like how that looks. Is that during the 90s or something? It's kind of got that 90s vibe.
It does, but it's a 70s console. It's weird, right?
Weird.
Oh, I take that back. 1990. I'm wrong.
Okay. Yep. Successor TV Boy 2 and Super TV Boy.
Yeah. Which is weird because they include this in the first. Let's see. They included it in the 1958 to 1982 wiki, but for some reason that one says 1990, so that's kind of weird.
That's interesting because that is literally, like you said, it's an Atari 2600 clone.
Yeah. Pretty wild, right?
That is weird.
The Intellivisions, of course, we know about those. Here was a. There was something called a play cable in the 81. Never heard of that.
Play cable?
Yep.
Stop touching my play cable, please.
Here's a fun one. Epoch Cassette Vision was a console you could get from the company called Epoch in 1981. These are all just terrible, right?
Yeah. Oh, I'm still back on the play cable. That was a Mattel.
Is that Mattel? Okay.
Mattel thing. Oh, it was an online service introduced in 1980 that allowed local cable television operators send games for the Intellivision over cable wires.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, weird, right? What is technically considered third generation, we start with Game Boy, MSX, Sega Game Gear.
I know nothing about the MSX other than I know we didn't really have that here in the States as much, and it was very popular in Europe, and I don't know much about anything else beyond that.
You're totally right about that. Boy, this is just crazy. This list, it's amazing how long this has been and also how it hasn't been that long.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
And it's also, it's also a reminder that this was the even during the 80s, they were still trying to, it was still the Wild West, right? You still didn't know.
Yeah.
All the way up to the big console wars of the 90s. And then once we get in the 2000s, it's just solidified. It's your big three that's still pretty much around today.
Yeah, it kind of, things consolidated. The bigger it got as an industry, as its own separate industry, the bigger or I guess the larger companies would notice it and start to do it and become the right. dominant forces. Nintendo's really the best example of something that started with it as small and in the the really early days, and right. has stuck with it and been relevant the entire time. Almost everybody else has fallen by the wayside. And Nintendo and Sony were two mega corporations that got in late, relatively speaking. Yeah. And you know, they're dominant for a different reason. But Nintendo, I don't know. This kind of makes me want to hats off to Nintendo a bit for sticking it out so long.
I want to hats off to Nintendo and Apple, because if you were born, if you were born in Gen X era,
yeah.
You remember a time. That's right. We're about to go. You remember a time mm-hmm. when Apple and Nintendo were pretty much done. I mean, they weren't going to make it.
Yeah.
They were out. I mean, Apple at one point in time, it's like, it was almost a joke, oh, you're an Apple fanboy. Well, that's just great, because, they've got nothing. They've got no levers. Who are they even? Mm-hmm. And then, that's all changed now. Yeah. I mean, you can't imagine a world without Apple.
No, or Nintendo. Well, and there was a time though in the 90s where you thought, well, the Apple we know is gone. We have nothing going on over there. And then Steve Jobs came back and said, no, how about we do this? And now they're, the most relevant. They still have the most market cap of any company in the world, which is crazy to me.
Yeah, yeah. Bill Gates was like going, we got you. Come on. We got you.
Now,
you can make this. Come on.
What's weird to me, and I'll send you this in Discord real quick. This thing is a Nintendo console that I'd never heard of. It's called the Color TV Game Series. Came out from 77 to 80. I bet it was Japan
that
only.
That is cool looking.
It is cool as shit.
That's got like really cool. You sent me that Spice Orange that only comes out of the Japan, which yep. I love. I love the GameCube Spice Orange. And it's got this old looking 70s era knob
yep.
for spinning. Everything about it just looks like a freaking spaceship control yep. from the 70s.
Yep, and you had to buy different ones to get different games. So they had like a version of it that was like a Pong-like game, and another game that did other stuff. So you had TV Game 6, 15, they're all like different models. One's called Block Kashore. I think that was like Breakout, basically. This is pre-Game & Watch, which was 80 through 91.
Right.
But I don't think a lot of people know about this thing. This thing is weird.
I don't know anything about it. I am seeing that there was also a steering wheel version of that thing. That is pretty badass. So we were still, this is the 70s. Before there were spinners. And paddles, that was all the jam during the 70s and the late 70s. It wasn't until we, head into the Atari and start getting into joysticks and stuff that mm-hmm. the 2600, that we started kind of moving away from that.
Yeah,
and it even had paddles too, of course.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. It's an interesting trajectory, this company. They fascinate me, like, to no end. And this arcade we were in Vegas had tons of those, like, Play 10 game machines they used to make.
Oh, yeah. The Nintendo Play 10s, where you have 10 Nintendo games that you could be playing on your Nintendo.
Probably hard to get, but it'd be fun to get like an intact version of that somewhere.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can very easily, but pretty freaking cool.
Oh, that reminds me. GameSwap, as well as having all those great retro games, it also has some arcade machines in there along the walls and the outside.
Ooh, nice.
I don't have the courage.
Yeah.
To walk up and be the only person playing them, but
you could have, you should have, you should have rocked the world. Left your what's your three initials in your arcade games? What do you put?
It's bad. I mean, how can you not do bad?
Yeah. Oh, you do BAD.
That's my initials are BA.
I always did triple X, all the time.
Yeah, I always put Ace.
Yeah, Ace is cool.
Because it's near the beginning of the alphabet. I just didn't have anything else. I was just like, what's really easy to type? It's either going to be AAA or Ace.
Ace,
I was like, AAA is kind of, you got to at least put Ace in there.
I did X for the same reason, except it's the other way. So you go backwards and find the X very quickly. Smart. And then just bam, bam, and you're done. And I thought it was so edgy and cool. It's so stupid now. Like,
look
so
at me, I'm cool, man.
Yeah, but I did that X. with at this arcade this last week. Whenever I would get a high score, I put my three X's in. That's the way it was going to be. Brian, you brought, we didn't do two of them today, but we do have a Guess My Game just to make this feel like a regular episode.
Yeah, we wanted to make you feel at home.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. So we'll do this.
Destroy it.
I got a little clip here from you. You want to set me up?
Absolutely. This was for the SNES in 1992. I have never played this game, and when I saw it, I was like, wow, I don't remember this, but I got to play it. Now, we'll tell you this. you get extra bonus points. Since this is a kind of, you know, a casual episode of Play Retro.
Of course.
Kind of, I'm a little more laid back. I didn't want to put something too difficult in there, but if you can guess in the first 10 seconds, you'll get my respect. If you get it after then, I'm like, well, of course you got it. Okay. That was easy.
All right, let's try it out.
Let's get
Wrong one. Shit. All right, now I'll play it. All right, sorry. SNES 1992.
Right? 1992.
All right, here we go. Man. Hold on.
Yeah. And they just give it a second or two, and then it should be easier.
Super Star Wars.
There you go. Super Star Wars.
Is that it?
Nintendo Entertainment System.
Nice. I feel good about that answer. Those were really good. All three of the sequels there. By the way, I'm half convinced. I've been playing the new one, the new Jedi Survivor game from EA.
Yes,
just came
that.
Out
yes.
today or yesterday. If they make a third one of that, that will be the greatest Star Wars trilogy they've ever made in video games, and it will finally unseat these games you just played for me, because those, for the longest time, have been the freaking bomb. I love them.
Yeah.
That sounds like a bunch of Wookiees.
It took me a really long time to scrub to an area that wasn't just full of Star Wars tunes.
Yeah, it's hard, right? The whole first, I don't know, half of that game is the main theme. You're not going to be able to escape it.
No.
Oh, it's great, though. I love that game. Good call there, Brian. And I feel good about my answer. I did what I wanted.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, good job. Good job.
A reminder, next week, we talked about this last time we did a regular show, but next week will be our MDK and MDK2 episode.
Yes.
We're going to talk about MDK. It's more than a game. There's a bunch of story around it, and I think it's an important sort of pivot point for almost the industry in a weird way.
Yeah. And especially Shiny Entertainment, who kind of lived in this whole era, lived and died in this MDK 1 and 2 kind of time period. But they went on to do so many more things, and so much happened before then. It's just got a lot of story behind it.
Yep, there's a whole bunch there. We're going to talk about that. I'm also really excited about what you and I talked about our next episode after that. I don't know if we want to tease it or not.
Yes.
Maybe we can. I don't know.
We can tease it a little bit. Absolutely.
All right. Go ahead and tease it, because when you suggested it, I got really excited.
Go ahead. Yeah. Right. After MDK, go ahead and get excited, because if you didn't see it this past week, there was a trailer for a certain franchise that's finally getting a show. Twisted Metal.
Yeah.
We're doing the Twisted Metal series, which is just in time for me, because I got this PlayStation 1. I got a PlayStation 2. I've been printing out some stands for those guys.
Yep.
And I'm just stoked. This is one that I've been...
Twisted Metal.
That was like on my dream list when we started this
Twisted
show.
Metal Black is amazing on PS2. Yes. Twisted Metal 1 and 2 are my jam. In fact, if I could do a slash plate and find out how much time I spent on a PlayStation game, there are two games that got the most play time for me, Wipeout and Wipeout XL. And I'll bet very next second on that would be those two games. It'd be Twisted Metal 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Played the shit out of them and did like couch PvP with my friends and just absolutely ate that game up. So I'm excited about the show, but I'm more excited about us talking about the actual games that created it all. And I hope that there's a new one in the works. I think Sony's missing an opportunity by not having a battle royale multiplayer Twisted Metal.
There's a resurgence in interest right now. So I think it'd be foolish not to try to capitalize on that.
Yeah, this sounds really good. I'm very excited about that. So check that out. That's going to do it for a little special one-off.
Yeah.
It's good stuff, man. I really enjoyed hanging out with you today. We're going to do it again next week.
Put my pants back on now. Oh, what?
It'll be quick, actually. Next Wednesday, of all days, you'll just be getting a brand new episode. We'll be doing MDK 1 and 2.
Yeah.
All right.
1 and 2. And there's some other games that are spiritual successors that had the MDK 1 and 2 developers on it.
Yep.
Some of the same people who worked at Shiny Entertainment, like Giants Citizen Kabuto.
Oh.
Which I knew nothing about until...
Yeah. Yep, I didn't either. I should remind folks at home, we're brought to you by you, patreon.com/playretro. If you want no ads ever, pre-show content most weeks, and other monthly cool benefits, you can only get them by signing up for our Patreon at patreon.com/playretro. Become a patron and be cool. Email us, playretroshow@gmail.com. You will be able to also send us voicemails and texts to 801-471-0462. And we'll be back Wednesday with more. Brian, anything else you want to say before we go?
You should play some more retro video games. And if anybody knows if Roman Games, if they're okay, let me know.
We're a little worried about them. Somebody slipped some food under the table or under the door or something. Just make sure they're okay. That's going to do it for us. Go play something retro. We'll see you next week.
If you like what you just heard, there's a very good chance you will like all the shows on the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.